You're listening to the Star Wars Report, episode 91. I have no cold opening prepared, other than the fact that episode 91 happens to reflect the year that I was born, which was 1991. Of course, making me 8 years old when the Phantom Menace came out. Who knows? Maybe that's why I'm such a big Phantom Menace fan. I feel like I'm wandering a little bit. What was that? Oh, start the show? Got it. Here we go! Hey guys, welcome to episode 91 of the Star Wars Report podcast. This week it is not the Star Wars Report podcast, it's the Star Wars Report podcast. Popping some tags. Hey, I'm Riley Blant, and I'm the host of the this here shenanigans, founder of the Star Wars Report, both StarWarsReport.com and this here podcast, which has now grown to so many podcasts and bloggers and all other kinds of awesome things, but you have landed in the right place if you're a Star Wars fan. We'd like to welcome you for your new listener. If you are a new listener, I would believe introductions are in order. And it's not just me, folks. I have joining me as always, my dear sister. I gotta come up with something new. My dear sister, Bethany.
I am glad to be back.
Blanton! Yeah!
Wow. That was more enthusiastic than normal.
I felt like I there needed to around. See some fusion of energy had to come in right now before I was drifting dangerously. I was drifting dangerously close to NPR reporter. And was, you're listening to the Star Wars Report episode 97. All right. In other news, the new album is released by.
But I do have a question. I have been a dear sister. Mm-hmm. I have been a co-conspirator.
Co-conspirator? Partner in crime?
Yes. A co-host. Mm-hmm. A fellow co-founder. Podcaster.
Yes.
A co-founder. I've been many things.
We need something that sticks.
We need something,
nothing has stuck.
But also, I need a call sign.
We do.
In 2 weeks.
Yes.
You and I both need call signs.
That was a perfect cold opening. Ha. And I
it's
forgot
like,
it.
How do we...
All right, we'll get in that in a second. Also joining us, and by the way, Star Wars Rebels, there was kind of a new Star Wars animated series. We'll be talking about that in just a minute. And joining
Wait,
us
what?
To discuss that and much more is host of Star Wars Beyond the Films, co-founder of StarWarsReport.com. He calls himself the Uber Geek. He has been known in the past as the defender of the EU. He's known to myself as my dear friend in that galaxy far, far away. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Earlman.
What an intro, man. Love it. Love it. Whistler, knock it off. Hey, I am surrounded by droids right now. This is kind of awesome. I've got some great stuff to talk about. I'm almost tongue-tied.
Nice. I'll tell you what.
I am seriously surrounded.
So you just got back from, tell the listener.
The one, the only happiest place on Earth next to Disney World, Disneyland. Yes,
awesome.
I am the Rebel Spy. I'm rocking my Rebel Spy shirt from Star Tours. Finally got to ride The Adventure Continues. Got some fast passes because we ended up going to eat and the time overlapped. But I was like, ooh, I'll keep that as a souvenir. All
nice.
Sorts of good stuff,
so
man.
You
good
just,
stories. You... Oh, the things I can and cannot tell you.
Oh, my goodness. So what was the experience like? So this is your second time to Disneyland, California. How Star Wars-y was the experience? On a scale,
of
1 to 10, you've got 1 where you kind of saw a cheap Diamond Select Toys model Darth Vader something weird thingamajigger hoo-ha off in the distance, to level 10 where there was like a personal stormtrooper escort the entire week.
I got the old I'm watching you from one of the stormtroopers when took this picture and said I'm putting it on my podcast. I was like, ooh, I wonder if I know him. when you go with me, like you said at the beginning, you know, self-proclaimed Uber geek, I was rocking Star Wars shirts every single day. So
nice.
When I was down there, I was noticing how many people had them, you know, just
yeah.
random ones, you know, not just Star Tour ones, but ones that were obviously these people were living in them, you know. And that for me was exciting, you know, just that level of enthusiasm all throughout the park. You know, it wasn't just they were all congregated at the one spot. They were everywhere.
So but you've been to Disneyland once before, correct?
Yes. My first time was when I was 30. My wife took me and the kids. This was before we had Jaina. So this was Jaina's first time. She got to have a little first time button.
Aww.
I was 30, and this time I went up there, I was 33 and turned 34 while we were there. So it was really cool because I got to have my button there on my birthday. It was our third day or second day there when I got to get my button. And they asked me what my name was, and I said Jedi Mark. So, of course, they put that on there. So everywhere I went, I got happy birthday, Jedi Mark. Nice. And, in fact, Merida from Brave, she's all, so you think you're a Jedi? And I'm like, yeah, like my father before me. And she gives me a high five and a fist bump. And then, you know, as I'm leaving, she's all, Dad, Dad. And I go, she goes to give me another high five. And she pulls it away real fast because I guess she's a trickster like that. But yeah, it was really cool. You know, like I got to meet Tom from We Talk Clones. We met up and did Star Tours and stuff. And he was explaining how he couldn't handle having his button on when it was his birthday because everybody did it. And I loved it. I thought that was just so cool. You know, going everywhere. Anyone that noticed the button, they're like, happy birthday, Jedi Mark. And I was like, oh, this is so much fun.
Nice. Well, see, I want to tell me all about it because we have – this is the weirdest thing. So the first podcast I ever went on as a guest or as a co-host or of any kind was U Cantina's original rebrand before the rebrand of the original of the rebrand, EUcast. Did I get that right? I think
I'm confused.
And that was how I was introduced at the time to the We Talk Clones podcast. Good friends William Devereaux and Tom Panuski and the crew over there. And when I want to say it was the third podcast I ever went on, was discussing an episode in season two, if I'm remembering. Yeah, season two of the Clone Wars on that podcast. And man, I had a fantastic time. But the weird thing is, Tom has never... William Devereaux has made it out. And you know, a lot of the other EU Cantina... I just realized I'm going to get in trouble if I try to name everybody. But a ton of the other EU Cantina and Solo Sound folks have made it out to the Star Wars celebrations. Mark, you have not. Tom Panuski has not. Was there like a little bit of commiserating there, a little bit?
Well, you know, I was able to learn some cool stuff about the park. I mean, you know, we talk about a bunch of stuff, but, you know, mainly we were talking about the new films, man, what we would and wouldn't want to see, you know, a little talk of the Rebel action, but we were really focused on the films and what we'd like to see in that regard. But for me, you know, anytime, I got a couple friends that are staffers and stuff like that do different things at Disney. And so, you know, they'll tell me like a couple little different things about what the behind the scenes stuff is like, what they can, you know, there's a lot of stuff they can't talk about and stuff like that. But like for me, just the whole park is interesting. Like one of the restaurants we went to, one of the people was telling me about how it was Walt's favorite restaurant. And I was eating Walt's favorite cheeseburger. I'm going to side note for a second here and tell you about my near-death experience.
Oh, boy.
So I'm eating Walt Disney's favorite cheeseburger in his favorite restaurant. And, you know, I mean, it's delicious. It's like a rye-type bread, kind of dry bread. You know, I don't have a problem with that. It, expansive, a big sucker. I got to squish this thing down. I got a picture of it. I shared it on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had to squish it down to kind of eat it. And I'm enjoying this thing. I'm only about two bites in. And the waitress that comes by, she's talking to my daughter, you know, littlest one, Jana, is just being awfully cute. And she's like, oh, your kids are so well-behaved. And I'm talking to her. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm worried about when I die. I'm afraid I may have sold my soul somewhere along the line. I've been truly blessed with beautiful and well-behaved babies, you know. And I'm like, so needless to say, I'm afraid to die. And then the lady's talking about how, you know, for her, she's worried about it skipping a generation or something because she was just a holy terror, as she put it, when she was a teenager and her kids are all blessed. And I'm sitting there in my mind, I'm thinking about, you know, all the things that I put my mom through, you know, and I'm just like, oh, gosh, this is all going to come back. And so I start to chuckle and I got a bite in my mouth and I'm like, oh, this thing's expanding fast. Next thing I know, I'm like, okay. It's kind of in the back of my throat. You know how when you go in swimming and you go underneath the water and you're like, I'm going to hold my breath and see how long I can be down here. And you're about like 30 seconds into a minute. And you're like, I could go another 30 seconds. You get about another 12 seconds. You're like, I don't think I could go three more seconds. And you're like, I got to get to the top. And right before you get to the top, you have that moment of panic. Like, I'm down here too long. I'm going to die. Well, I was kind of having that with this bread that's like lodging in the back of my throat. And I'm like, okay. I can't swallow it. Try to swallow it. Nope, 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 nope. And the lady's talking to my wife, and they're bantering, and I'm sitting here trying to swallow it. And I'm like, okay, don't panic. Breathe through your nose. And I try to breathe through my nose and tip my head back. And I'm like, okay, I can't breathe. So I kind of make it like this weird motion. My wife's like looking at me, and I'm like, you know, and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, uh-uh. And right as she and the waitress both start to come over to give me the Heimlich, because at this point I'm like starting to see the woos. I'm like, uh-oh. You know, at that point I got it up. Now, oh man, it was a moment. And the lady's like all freaked out. She's like, there you're just talking about, you don't want to die. My wife starts to cry. She's like, oh my God, I'm going to die right in front of me. I was like, oh. And so for the rest of the day, I felt like I had this bread in the back of my throat. I'm like, so yeah, you know, there I am around the world with this. But like, there's a train track that runs through the middle of this park, and it's definitely abandoned, hasn't been used in a long time. There's all this stuff growing around. I'm like, hey, what's going on with this? Nobody knows. Things like this, like that's the kind of stuff that me and Tom, we were just chatting about. It's like, you know, we're talking about Disney World, Disneyland, the differences in the two parks, you know, because I haven't been there, but he's gone there at least once, even though he hasn't gone to the convention, but he has gone to the park and he's got to do those things. And, you know, and most of the people I know that our staffers at this Disney talk about how great Disney World is, and the aspect of Star Wars weekends and going there and, you know, missing it for all intents and purposes. There was no Star Wars weekends, though. While I was down there, one of the staffers in one of the lines said that on the 25th of this month, all the characters are going to be dressed up in their Star Wars personas. And that really ticked my wife off, because we're on vacation till like the 27th. And so she's like, yeah, we could have gone. And then we could have seen Teresa, who's going to be there right now. And I told her that. She didn't know that. I'm like, well, that's what I was told. So check out, watch out. They may be there. You know, yeah. I mean, I heard a couple really cool rumors, and you know, stuff that I can't really talk about. Maybe I don't know.
Like, but if you were going, all right, so Mark, if you were going to talk about rumors, which you never would,
yeah,
but they would probably be of a specific kind of nature of rumor, right?
Well, okay. The one that I will say, because I'll share the rumors that I got from people at Disney that aren't friends that work for Disney.
So you're not going to get anybody
in trouble. But yeah, the ones that I heard from people that were running the rides, one of them was that there is a big parking lot that they are seriously looking at making Star Wars Land at Disneyland. That they're talking about it. Now, from the Disney rider perspective, while I was in Tomorrowland, Autotopia no longer belongs there. That should be in Cars Land. If that goes to Cars Land, boom, there's some more space right there you can put it. Boom, I mean, just attach it and build it around the Innovations building there and attach it to the Star Tours somehow, or over Space Mountain, I'm not sure. But there's some room there if you move Autotopia, because Autotopia is Cars Land. It was just before Cars came to be, which was fun too, by the way. That was a good ride.
Yeah.
Oh, but man, my kids, my son got sick the first day we got there, so he didn't get to do the Jedi training,
which
really was sad, because my friend had arranged it so he was going to be able to be the kid that got to do the Force pushes, and he didn't want to do it. So my daughter went, so she got for me, they did it before, but she got this one and gave it to me. It's my Jedi certificate that announces that the defender of the EU has proven to be worthy of training to become a Jedi. The guardians of peace and justice in the galaxy. The bearer of this honor is now a Padawan, a student devoted to the ancient training of the Jedi Knights. From this day forth, remember, a Jedi uses the Force for knowledge. Mm-hmm. The Force for knowledge and defense, never for attack. The Force will be with you always.
Now, let me see that. We have you up on video, so I'm curious. I want to see this thing. Because that looks amazing. I'm doing a video version of this, so there you go. Oh, nice. But,
I haven't got my name on it yet, though.
Cool. I love it.
But yeah, so I got to ride Star Tours.
Okay.
So, my first and last ride on Star Tours, unfortunately, was exactly the same. But I thought, you know, that was kind of cool, because at the same time when I went there last time, my first and last rides on Disney property were Star Tours. So that was cool. And the last one, my friend at the time, she was a staffer on Star Tours. She was able to personalize it to us. But this time, we were able to go into the park with her. And so on one of the days, you know, she went with us, and she was able to, you know, get us all sorts of magic moments and stuff like that. I learned a lot of really cool behind the scenes stuff, like Buzz Lightyear, where the magic targets are and which targets are worth the most points. A lot of small things that you wouldn't necessarily think of are that cool, but when you get in there and they're like telling you, you're like, that is so awesome. And they're like, Shane, that's a secret just for you guys. And of course, you know, as I was going through it, I didn't realize it at the time, but I'm going through the Buzz Lightyear thing, and it parks me right in front of Zurge with the mysterious $50,000 bonus point, and the ride does its little stop, because occasionally it'll stop. But I didn't know this at the time until I got off the ride, then I found out that they're watching you on cameras, and they knew that we were with her, and so they stopped us in that room, so we were able to rack up some extra points. I'm like, how cool is that? It didn't help me. I can't aim worth a darn. I haven't played games in that long, but yeah. I thought that was cool. I mean, it gave my son a shot. He was able to get to a level 5, which was what I got, but you know, I was like, man, that's awesome. But again, getting back to Star Tours, because I'm still so excited about this place. I'm all over the place. This is the first time I've talked about it to anybody, okay?
No,
so they got the Build a Droid workshop. So I was able to build myself my Whistler. I mean, I already have Whistler. He's in a box over here. You know, I say it like, you know, he's angry with me. But I got a Karan Horn Walmart exclusive that's got Whistler. And I never open it because I'm OCD like that. So I wanted to have one that I could have out. So I did that. I built myself this nice little R4 or R5. I can't remember off the top of my head which one this one is. And my son, he spent his whole birthday money and got himself 3 sets. This is the dual packs they come in. He's got a regular R2. He's calling this one R4. He's got names for them all. But they got little Mickey ears. You know, so I got the hats. You know, I took a picture of one of the Beyonders. Like, really, the hat? You know, and I'm like, well, the hat was free. So we got an Indiana Jones hat. We got a Yoda ear hat. I got Whistler a green Mickey ear hat, and it's got the little Jedi logo in front of it. And then we got a Pirates of the Caribbean Jack Sparrow hat. He's got this really cool domed one that's clear. We call that one. I don't know. He's got all these whack names for him. And when I tried telling him what the model number was, he's like, no, Dad. He is what this. And I'm like, he can be an R4 75 Z23, man, but he's still an R series droid. The one that I like the most, though, is he's got an R9. And this one's kind of cobbled together because when he got it originally, he had it with a different body and then realized he didn't like the colors because his sister kind of talked him into it. So it was kind of funny to watch how he reacted there. I managed to score myself a really cool pin set. Kind of bummed that the Imperial Cog isn't there. It's the actual Republic Cog that you'll see on some of the Republic gunships and stuff like that. And again, at the last ride that we went on being Star Tours, I had been looking all over for the white Ewok plush that, you know, I knew was there. When I first went there, I didn't see it. I assumed it wasn't at this one. And everybody I'd talked to staff-wise, they were saying the same thing. Oh, it's not there. I found when it comes to Disneyland staff, it depends on who works that area all the time versus just there that moment. Didn't know that at first, so I assumed it wasn't there. Kind of really bummed about this. In fact, I tweeted it, and then afterwards found it as we got off right behind the droid workshop. That was why I didn't see it. I had my back turned the whole time. So as we got off, we only had the last $20 for Davin to get his last set of droids because we kept telling him if he wanted it, he could get it, and he wanted it. So we went there, and I finally found it. I'm like, honey, there's $17. I don't have any extra. And she thought, well, we'll just have to get it another time. And so we walked back because they went and we had all these vouchers. So we had a bunch of food vouchers. We had $200 left by the time the trip was over that we had to spend on food. We're like, man, we don't use it, we lose it. And so she bought me some chili bowls and stuff like that. So I went over to eat my chili and she turned and burned. And I was like, okay, she must be going to go get some more food because I didn't know if she'd spend them all. Well, she went and got the last, not the last one, but the last 3 minutes left of the park being open. She managed to pick it up and score it out. So I was like, pretty cool about that. We'll get back to that chili though. Yeah, the story continues. Now, my friend, one of them, the one that used to do the Star Tours ride, she's hooked me up with some really cool stuff in the past. You know, I've got a Mickey Mouse pop-out lightsaber that was used in one of the demonstrations by Darth Maul. I've got a cast-exclusive Star Tours cup that she gave me. She's got me these really cool pins, like this one of Yoda, Do or Do Not, There Is No Try, with the slave Leia. I got my really cool Rebel logo there. But the one that she got me, and I admit, man, I tear up a lot, okay? So she gave me this. I cried because I wasn't expecting this. And, you know, it was my birthday gift that she gave me, and it was so cool. It is limited to 250. It is a Jedi communicator and 3 pins. And it is, limited edition. It says it on the back how many it's got. And the pins, one's a Jedi pin. That's got the wings and the crest and a little blade going up. The other one is a Jedi Academy pin that's got the regular Jedi logo that we're mostly used to. And then there's another one that's got that logo in the bottom with Yoda saying, by the right of the council, by the will of the force, dub thee, I do, Jedi, Knight of the Republic. And then it says Yoda.
Nice.
Just, you know,
Who manufactured it? I'm curious.
That is so
who what?
Cool.
Who manufactures it?
It's a Disney pin.
So it's just a Disney item. Nice. I mean, that's beautiful. Yeah. I've never seen the communicator like that. That looks
really cool. Yeah, I mean,
I got one question for you before we move out, because I do want to talk about Rebels some too, but I do have a question for you. I'm going to make a confession here. When I started, when I began in the Star Wars community, as it got more and more involved with Disney, even before the Disney announcement, it became very apparent to me that I never really found the appeal with the Disney parks, and I never really personally have, and it's, I've never been to one, just because
Have you still not been to one?
I've still not been to one. No, no.
Well, and, I have something on this when you're done, then.
Okay, but I was just curious because I know so many people who in the Star Wars community who love Disney World, but I just never understood the appeal for adults. I think it would make a fantastic family destination, well, like you took your family, Mark. But I always tried a hard time grasping the fun. But the more I've heard people talk about it, the more I've heard that it's not really about the rides or about the costumes themselves. It's more about the general experience and environment than it is that. Anyway, I don't know.
Well, I was in the same shoe on my first trip. We're getting ready to go. I'm like, I could care less. That was how I felt. This time, though, after going the first time and then coming back, knowing what was going to be there, the things that I missed the first time, didn't get to check out, I was so excited to be going back. You know, it was just night and day difference. I mean, literally light side, dark side in comparison, you know, from the darkest Palpatine evil to the most Yoda-est light in my feelings on this time around. That's how amped up I was. Last time I didn't go to Pirates Island, the Tom Sawyer part, which is an island in the middle, because it was all closed off. This time we did it. We spent a good half of the day on that island just exploring these fake caves. Oh, it was so much fun. Little things like that. We did the character dining experience and things like that, where characters would come up and they get pictures with you. And even as an adult, man, I mean, I had a blast. I got pictures where I was like flexing muscles in front of Cinderella and she's like, you know, things like that. We're staging photos with them and stuff. I mean, man, it was so much fun. And Shrek, not Shrek. I keep calling him Shrek. Stitch. Stitch is a hoot, okay? Stitch comes up behind my wife the first time because we went to Surf's Up, one of the two different times. And he came up behind my wife the first time, scared her half to death. And then he came up behind me and started on me. I mean, he is a hoot, man. The guy's like, look, I mean, just goes to town. You're just like, dude, what's he doing? He makes people take some of the other parents. He's made them take maple syrup shots, things like that. I mean, they get into it. You're just like, whoa, nice. Dude, these guys are awesome. My littlest daughter, Jaina, was a big fan of Minnie going down. Okay, on our last day, we had the second time going to the Surf's Up, and the last character to come by was Daisy. And whoever was Daisy that day, I mean, you know, I say that loosely because there's only one Daisy, but Daisy likes to change her costume, so I don't know how the magic works. And so the Daisy that came that day, the attitude she had, we'll say, was a lot more lovey-dovey than the one she had the first day. She must have been really busy or Donald had irritated her the first day, because on the second day, she spent 30 minutes just with my daughter, Jaina. Aww. They were on the floor. They were playing peekaboo. They were playing patty cake. Jaina was kissing her bill. She was kissing Jaina all over. And after that, Jaina is infatuated with Daisy. She had to have her own Daisy. She wouldn't leave. She was just like... the whole time reaching for Daisy, waving at Daisy, and Daisy kept coming back. And it was just like, you know, well, part of it was because this was the one where we missed the Star Tours. It was our lunch one. And, you know, the timing of it, we were hoping to get back in time for the Star Tours to use the Fast Pass. But by the time we got back, the line was short enough, it didn't matter anyway. And I was like, oh, souvenir. I feel bad because I used it and I extended someone else's Fast Pass time. So I got to throw that out there. But, you know, it's one of those things where the characters can really make or break it. You know, my kids, they got autograph books this time. So they went around and they were getting autographs. My son was like, I got to get Donald. I got to get Donald. He's a huge Donald fan. I got to get Donald. We finally got Donald, and you know, we're like, Donald, my fine feathered friend, how we've been looking for you. Now I'm having a blast, you know, interacting with him and stuff, you know. And like Chip and Dale both came by one time, and I'm like, Chip, don't tell Dale, but you're my favorite. And then Dale comes by, I'm like, Dale, don't tell Chip, you're my favorite, you know, swapping it around and stuff. So my son, you know, we tell Donald how he's a huge Donald fan. So he puts Donald Duck, he writes the big number one on it, you know. So then we go and we find Goofy, and I told Gavin, I'm like, get it across from Goofy. And or I mean, I'll get Goofy's signature across from Donald, you know? And so Gavin opens it up, and Goofy looks down, he sees Donald number one, he's pointing at it, he's like, and we're like, we know, it's why we wanted you. We're like, we know who number one is. And so Donald, or Goofy writes down, you know, Goofy, and he puts number one, and then he puts, like, all these arrows at his number one, you know? I mean, they're just so much fun, the way these characters interact with you. I mean, it's not just the kids, they're totally getting into it with the parents. You know, there's so many fun things about it, and there are two types of comers and goers when it comes to Disneyland. There are those that are kind of more self-absorbed and those that have been here a lot. And I say that because most of those that are self-absorbed, they're either categorized in different directions. Like, some of them are just kind of in awe, you know, and they don't realize what's going on. But you get the other side of all that, you know, that are those Disney regulars. And they are genuinely so nice. And they're the ones that are also sharing, you know, any information. Like, I'm learning all sorts of little secrets about, you know, this was once there and that ride was over here. And when you're standing in these long lines waiting for these characters and stuff and it can get hot, you know, there's the ones that make it so much fun. You know, the other side of it, though, you get the selfish ones. Like we would follow this one group, and there were only like four of them. And there was a whole, you know, we had four of us plus my little infant daughter, and we didn't have a car seat that had an umbrella store. So, you know, we're all hot. The people behind us had three little girls that were younger than my youngest son, but older than my daughter, Jaina. And there's no shade but this one bench. And these people are just sitting in the shade, letting the line continue down, just, you know, not moving at all, just hogging the shade. And it's like, come on, man. You can see all the, and they're all almost adults and teens. It's like, you can see that these people are burning, not just my family, but other kids and stuff are burning. And you're going to sit here and hog the shade and let the line continue down. I so badly wanted to pass them. I mean, I was just so frustrated. And there's that aspect of it that yeah, you know, you got to kind of balance out too. Like, sometimes my wife would get really irritated with that. And I'm like, well, you know, just, you know, it's their magic moment too. We can't all have the magic at once, you know? It's like, so there's some give and take to it. I can see why some people could go and have a bad time if you just happen to hit everything wrong. Like, our first time we went, we didn't realize how the fast pass worked. We waited to the very last day to use our fast pass. It was like, when we figured that out, we felt like such idiots. Like, we could have been using this the whole time. I mean, it's like, no one explains this to you unless you ask them, but we didn't think to ask.
I'll tell you what. Disney is truly, truly a place of magic. All right, guys, we got some stuff to talk about. Well, thank you for sharing that, Mark. That was actually, sounds like a really fun time. We've got some discussion of Star Wars Rebels. You rebel scum, coming up right after this.
Hey, Star Wars fans, I'm Pablo Hidalgo, and I'm here at Big Rock Ranch today because we got word that we could finally talk about the new animated Star Wars series that's in development here. So I'm going to track down our good friend Dave Filoni and ask him all about it. So come on, let's go.
Dave, you ready?
I brought the internet. I brought the internet with me.
How'd you do that?
Oh, it's just over here.
It's like a mobile probe droid.
Yes. Where are we right now?
Like, where are we right now?
What happens, like, where are we with Rebels?
Oh, it's amazing. So many things have happened.
All right, pausing. I'm going to do commentary as we go. I love that the introduction in this whole video where they introduce a new Star Wars animated series. And Pablo Hidalgo is talking to Dave. He's like, so where are we with Rebels? So and he's like, oh, we're going to... Here he goes.
Our characters have been on so many incredible journeys. If only you could see it.
So you're not going to tell me where we are.
No, you're not going to get to see it either.
I love how Dave Filoni is just talking about it as if like we've all known about it for 5 months.
Yeah, tell you what, man. Well,
he sounds like he's at a bar, you know, like he's had a few to drink. And, you know, I'm not going to, I don't care how liquored up you get me, man. Pablo, it's not happening, man. Another Long Island shirt, but it ain't happening.
He's play acting. He knows quite a bit. It's
actually
very nice.
Pablo,
he's trying
does
to be your friend, but
I'm trying to get information for you guys here. So this is a whole new era to get into in between episodes 3 and 4.
Yes, the opportunity to work in the era that I grew up with, you know, even though it precedes that era, this show will precede episode 4, is still tremendously exciting because this visual language is now open to us. And very directly, what Ralph McQuarrie was doing is now open to us in a way that we could never exploit on Clone Wars.
You look at Ralph's design, and it's a few degrees off of where it was in Episode 4 because it's concept art.
That's right.
When you use it in Rebels, it's going to be a few degrees off from episode 4 because that's where we are in the timeline.
Yeah.
So there we go. So that's it. That's Star Wars Rebels, and that's the introduction. Basically, the summary is, we heard basically what it is, but there are additional details that are with the press release. For instance, after teasing us with the kind of, remember the TIE fighter teaser, Mark? Did you see that, where Dave Filoni was still, I'm working on this TIE fighter drawing.
Yeah.
It was, so basically what's happening.
Just a sketch I was doing. Sure, Dave.
Just random,
yes,
random sketch.
Randomly. And so basically it is set between episodes 3 and 4. It's called Star Wars Rebels. Basically, at the premiere, it's on Disney XD for its regular airings. Simon Kinberg, Dave Filoni, and Greg Wiseman are the executive producers. Simon Kinberg is the guy who's developing the spinoff film, the yet unknown first spinoff film for probably after episode 7. Kinberg is writing the premiere episode, and Clone Wars veterans Killian Plunkett and art director Joel Aaron are the CG supervisor and art director respectively, and they are still involved. So they're still on board with this. There will be more revealed at Star Wars Celebration Europe 2 coming up in just a few weeks. So I've got my fingers crossed that we get hopefully some kind of conceptual trailer or something like that. That would be really cool. But basically, they have an official Facebook page. They've got the Twitter hashtag, hashtag Star Wars Rebels. And then I just wanted to give that excerpt. They follow on with an interview with Dave Filoni and Joel Aaron, and they bring the other folks in. But basically, that's the summary. That's what we're working with. They have announced, this is where the direction of Star Wars animation is going. It's going to Disney XD, and it's going to after the prequel era. I really don't know what question to first ask, but I'll just put it this way. Mark, I sent a text to you about an hour.
I was walking through the gates of Disney
and
on
so
that day.
When you received that text and then looked up what the news was, which, by the way, I did the ultimate jerk move. I was like, dude, check Twitter. There's a new Star Wars series announced.
Oh, I know. You have no idea the troubles I was having with my phone, too. I'm like, send me a link. Oh, my phone, I hate you. Oh. And I'm looking around, and I'm like, this beep's got his thing working. That beep's got her thing working. Why won't you work? Oh, curse you, technology. My wife's like, who are you? Just put it away. It makes you so mad. And I'm like, I just want to send this one picture. I got it. This is breaking. Got it. No. I'm like, Riley wouldn't send this to me if this wasn't. All the way, because we were literally walking.
Just hold for a second. Hold for a second, Mark.
Your bag.
Mark.
And we hadn't even got to the part where they check you in.
And hold for just a second. Basically, what your wife was going through was kind of a micro version of, I don't even know you anymore.
Oh, absolutely.
Mark, you're breaking my heart. As Mark clutches his smartphone angrily, screaming at it. Okay.
From the moment we went through the part where they open up your bag and look through it to where they scan your thing, all the way. I mean, not until we got through there. Then I finally saw it. By that point, I got excited, and I will later share the pictures because I took a whole bunch for Star Wars Beyond the Films for our feedback episodes. I don't know. I've got this whole thing where I'm pointing at the camera.
Pointing
now.
At the camera.
I think it's Bethany's
brilliant
fault.
For the audio listeners.
One of these old Uncle Sam. We want your feedback photos on one of the first feedback episodes. Now I feel like I got to do it for all the feedback episodes. So I have the Star Tours poster, and I'm doing that. Well, you could tell which ones I'd heard the news because in those ones I'm wearing the Rebel crest. I am just beaming.
Nice. Well, yeah. So basically, the way the show is working is that we've got Jennifer Landa coming up in just a few minutes here, mm-hmm. So we have nowhere near the time to really properly discuss it. So I'm going to throw it to you, Bethany, if you want to just give your overall thoughts of when I first was telling you, and I immediately showed you the video. What was your initial impression when you heard the announcement?
My initial impression was excitement. I was glad that they were continuing with doing something other than the movies. It's to me, I'm really glad that they're looking at a direction that Star Wars can take that isn't just the movies, because as incredibly excited for the movies as I am, and as I'm pretty sure all Star Wars fans are, you know, we've had a lot cut recently. We're not sure where we're going with the books. So many other things canceled. And you know, everything with all of the video games that some people love and some people don't. But it's nice to see that they'll take it in a direction that's not just solely 100% movie focused.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I'm honestly very shocked by the announcement. in a good way. That was my initial reaction. Now that I think about it, upon reflection, it makes sense. It's kind of like Star Wars Episode 7. Initial shock, but when you think about it, there were a lot of warning signs.
Well, and actually, Riley, do you remember what we talked about when after they had canceled a number of these different things? I don't remember after which cancellation announcement, but we discussed where you'd been feeling kind of down about it, and you weren't really sure of their direction, but you were sure... We were sure that the franchise was in good hands,
mm-hmm.
but we just didn't know where they were going with it. We couldn't project where they were going with it. I think we're beginning to see that now.
Yeah, no, we're seeing the wheel begin to turn. And so I am on a hard out. I'm like, this is like radio. This is what happens when I schedule it.
I know, you're about to bail. So before you do, one thing that occurred to me while I was walking through the park, at the beginning, they have, in the opening spot, they have the Star Wars theme. Everywhere you go, they take clips of their movies and stuff. As soon as Disney starts producing things, you could start seeing a lot more of these things popping up. Like the California Adventures XD characters are all over there. Imagine seeing, instead of Phineas and Ferb, these new rebels.
Yeah.
I was excited.
You rebel scum. All right, so I'm going to give him a call, the one and only Mr. Steve Gloss, and I'm going to give him a little ring on his cell phone. And if he answers, it's time for Steve's Star Wars Minute. Before we hard jump to our interview with Jennifer Landa. So let's see. Come on, Steve.
Ewok Whisperer.
Steve, your topic is, for the listeners who don't know, you've had a 1 hour warning. I'm asking you, who was the worst pilot in the Battle of Yavin, the first Battle of Yavin, and why? 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 Your time begins now.
Well, I want to take the first little bit of my time to plug my website, which Riley did not do so well last week, and I don't mind calling him out right now.
No!
First off, the Geek Out Podcast. That's where you can find the Geek Out Loud podcast, the RSS feed, and all the backup episodes of Geek Out Loud. And then there's 521 Podcast. The number's 521 Podcast. It is the official podcast of the ministry, which I'm involved. And if you're so inclined, please check that out. Let us hear from you. And of course, there is the Big Honkin' Show, bighonkinshow.com, and you can find us at mixler.com/bighonkinshow live just about every day, not quite every weekday. So that's what that's where you can find me. Now to the question at hand, the worst pilot at the Battle of Yavin, I believe, is Red 4. I think that's his call sign. I believe the name that he's been assigned is John D, after John Dykstrom. And the reason is because he literally closes his eyes during the battle. Seriously, people, go back and watch it. He complains about not being able to see, and his eyes are closed.
And that's it.
Double kill. Son dead. Sniper's spree.
He got in the contact information and the clip in a minute.
And the dig against Riley for his horrible plugging skills last week. I will be the first to admit.
I was curious if he was going to go with Biggs. Like, he should have flown out of there and he just let himself get tanked.
He closes. Oh, I got to look at that. Red 4, closing his eyes. Email us, starwarsreport@gmail.com.
Eyes on target.
Never disappointing is Steve Glosson. All right, so I'm going to add, let's see. I am going to pause the recorder for just a moment. And we'll be right back with you guys on the audio listeners as we get the one, the only, the talented Jennifer Landa on the show. Stand by. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Now, due to my agnosticism, is that how you pronounce it? Do you say that's a big word. That's like a $10 word there. Due to my dislike, I'll cheapen the word a bit so I can pronounce it, of editing. I just want to insert briefly, we do not have Jennifer yet. There may have been a slight miscommunication with time zones. Who knows? But that being said, I do want to continue our Rebels discussion while we are here and while we are rocking and rolling. So Mark is here. Bethany's here. I'm here. Rebels. Mark received the text. Bethany and I were actually at our doctor's office when we were just literally sitting in the waiting room. We were both in there. So I pulled up my phone. I was like, we got to see this. So I got the news really... In stark contrast to receiving the episode news literally 8 hours after it was announced.
The episode 7 news. Yeah.
What did I say? Did I say
episode
8?
Episode news.
Oh, okay. Thank you. But that being said, I got it pretty much within an hour and got it up. Watched the video that we referenced here at the beginning. And I will say this. I was surprised in a good way. Because I really did not think they were going to do anything with Star Wars animation. In the same way that I didn't think that they're going to do anything with Star Wars games. When we got the EA news, I was proved wrong there. And now I'm proved wrong again as we come to the Star Wars Rebels news. So I guess the moral of the story is I was entirely too despondent when it came to the future of Star Wars. And I probably should have been a little bit more positive. And that way, I don't know.
At the very bottom of the circle, and you needed something to kick you back up to the happy zone. That's life's a circle.
Yes, yeah. Back up to happy zone. And I certainly did when I received this news. There I saw Joel Aaron, Dave Filoni, Killian Plunkett, all the wizards behind the Clone Wars talking about a new series set between episodes 3 and episodes 4. What have I been begging for the past 3 years of doing Star Wars podcasting? I've been begging for the live action series. This is the live action series without the animation. I mean, with animation rather than the exorbitant budget that they talked about. I bet you, I'm willing to bet that certainly, at the very least, some very distinct concepts from the live action series are going to be translated into this series. They mentioned specifically the art of Ralph McQuarrie inspiring the design of the episode. That I think is going to be a huge part of what makes this unique and separate from the Clone Wars. But I guess looking at it holistically, I think Star Wars is in a way better place than it might have been.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was X-Wings, TIE Fighters. That is the two things that are missing from the prequel trilogy. That's the only things I really wanted to see when I sat down in the theater to see the prequels. I wanted to see those things going at it. I missed that. Wasn't a big thing. It wasn't a deal breaker. I'm okay with that. I'm looking forward to the prequel trilogy because I'm wanting those. I want them fighting. And so knowing that we're going to get those again, that's my bread and butter here. I mean, that was always my big thing when it comes to, you know, Star Wars over Star Trek was the dogfights, the starfighters. I mean, that has always been my number one. I mean, I was big on Micro Machines. And I remember, you know, let's see right here. These little bad boys. Man, when I got these little X-Wings, you know, I thought that was the coolest thing at the time because they had these Star Wars, the Star Trek ones over there, the big ships and stuff, and they weren't as much fun. I mean, you can't bank a starship from Star Trek like you can an X-Wing, man. And that's, for me, that's something I have just been dying for ever since the original trilogy went away. You know, from the EU standpoint, we have the Stealth X's, which are a cool ship. You know, it's an X-Wing, kind of elongated, and it's all black. That's cool. But then you get to Legacy, and what they did with the X-Wings there was just like, I didn't like it. They were a weird, funky ship, and they barely had an X at all. I didn't like it at all. So going to that, that's always been the thing that I have been missing. You know, it's kind of like watching A New Hope and watching the medallions get placed on everybody but Chewbacca. It's like, why?
Yeah. And I think that's, I want to just revisit and just basically my overall statement is it's so exciting. The information's there. I haven't really had time to process it in depth other than to say I'm very excited. We don't have enough information to really get a clear idea of the direction or what it will be like, how dark it'll be, how much for kids, what the airtime will be, whether it'll be an hour, whether it'll be half an hour. There's so many questions to ask, but it's good news. That's the thing. We're getting good news. And I think when it comes to the and I just got a message from Jennifer. Hopefully we'll get that in just a minute here, but I want to finish my point here first. When it comes to the way Lucasfilm has handled the transition, I'm not bitter, I'm not sad, but the reason I was because I feel like Lucasfilm and Disney handled these transitions poorly.
The old school, roughly, you might say.
Poorly would be the word I would choose. But because it's the old school sandwich technique. They teach you in corporate America or in any kind of leadership course that it's important that when you're giving someone something they don't like, when you're critiquing someone or making a change, you do good news, bad news, good news. Hey, we're doing really well here, but we need to see improvement in this area, but I see a bright future and we're going to do great. It's like you don't tell your kid that you don't just tell them, you made your bed horribly. They're not going to make their bed nicely the next day just because it's a pattern and everything. But if you say, hey, this today, you made up your sheets well, but you didn't finish it. But I'll tell you what, tomorrow, I bet you can do the whole thing and it'll look great. That's how you do it. So when it comes to Star Wars, flip it back towards Disney, it was like, you know, you want some bad news? I'm Goofy. There's some bad news. Okay, I can't do Goofy now. We need somebody who can do Goofy. We need
Gorsh, Riley.
Gorsh. Oh, wow.
Here's
that was good.
Some bad news. We're canceling Clone Wars. Okay, I'm just embarrassing myself here. We're canceling Clone Wars and canceling the 3D re-releases and shutting it down. LucasArts is closing. Not bad enough. Tell you what, you asked for more. Here's Detours. So that's where I get. I feel like we're getting all the bad news in shovels. It's like, here's a hole with bad news. Now I'm pulling it like a Bill Cosby. And then now we're getting the good news, and now it's turning around. Now, and part of this is that Electronic Arts, they, as we discussed in previous weeks of the Star Wars Report podcast, they have the Star Wars license. And they are making future Star Wars games. Not only that, they announced that they are going to be doing an exclusive Star Wars press conference at E3 Expo coming right up in June. So that's coming up. The chief financial officer was at a conference of some kind. I don't have the full article in front of me, but he was at a conference, and he specifically mentioned that they are looking at specific old Star Wars franchises that were successful and
breathing some life back into them.
Breathing life, thank you, Mark. Breathing life back into these franchises. And he specifically mentioned Star Wars Battlefront, to which I say, oh, yes! Please.
Oh, wow.
I got a question for you real fast, okay, with Rebels.
All right.
Take what we know, okay? We're going to look at the Clone Wars. And my question is, with the Clone Wars and their four arc strategies, does that prove that this new show could, in fact, last an hour long?
I
say
hope
yes.
So.
What do you guys say?
Bethany?
Ooh, I would hope so. I really would.
I mean, Star Wars deserves an hour. I mean, let's be honest. Remember, let's look
at some
of the
Clone Wars episodes felt just so short. And the most successful ones were arcs.
Yes.
Arcs that continued to where you had like 2 hours for a story.
Yeah. Real payoff for your characters.
Exactly.
I mean, that was for me another thing about the whole Star Trek, Star Wars debate was at the time when I was getting into both, Next Generation was just kicking in. And for me, I'm a after Gene Roddenberry died fan. You know, okay. I mean, I came into it after that fact. So for me, the best Star Trek stuff all came from other people. So, you know, for me at that time, those shows were on TV every week. You had that. And that was what Star Wars didn't have. So, you know, to lose that, but then to later get it in the Clone Wars, but only in the small increments, it was like, it was good, but I wanted more. And those arcs were always where it delivered.
And the other thing I want to say about Rebels is that the first, I mean, obviously there's so much speculation, but I feel like what we need to do is do like a full, write some thoughts down of what we think we might see, what we want to see. But I do want to tease that. One of my first thing is Obi-Wan. Oba-freaking-Wan. He's going to be amazing because we need to, and these are things we need to, this can't be no, well, I just got really southern there. Boy, let me tell you what, this can't be no live action series that ain't no Jedis or no lightsabers. You notice how southern hick people also mispronounce Jedi to Jedis. Like when I think of someone with a terrible accent, I equate that with mispronouncing Jedis. That says something about myself. But this cannot be the live-action series where they don't show... I want to see Obi-Wan. I want to see Yoda. I want to see the Jedi that escaped the Purge.
Well,
because
how do you plan on seeing Obi-Wan, though? Because, I'm under the impression that they're going to be wrapping up all the involvement we're going to see from Obi-Wan, except for what John Jackson Miller is going to give us in Kenobi. Because they've already given us quite a bit of Obi-Wan stuff, and it seems like with Last of the Jedi, not The Last Jedi, but the Last Jedi series, they backed off of that because they had him in there and they're like, okay, we're not going to have him leaving Tatooine anymore. So, I'd get curious as to how Obi-Wan would fit in unless they did a rebel mission on there and he didn't go as Obi-Wan, but Only we knew he was Obi-Wan. I mean, how would you envision that?
There's a lot of potential, and I do want to do like a full speculation maybe next week. I think that would be great. And pull some folks in, maybe Nathan. I know Nathan Butler. Are you guys going to talk? You guys have any plans for Beyond the Films on this subject, Mark?
We have yet to hook up since I got back from vacation.
You're
the only one I've talked to since I woke up.
You literally got in late last night and have probably been resting.
Yeah, we didn't get home
until
almost 3.
Oh, good grief. And you're here to the very next day. So basically, I think there's a ton to speculate about. I mean, I just threw out Obi-Wan because I haven't even thought about what that would look like.
Yeah.
But like my favorite arcs in the Clone Wars are the war arcs, where specifically the Krell arc, specifically the final arc of the Clone Wars. And I want to see those continue. A lot of folks are itching desperately for these loose threads to be wrapped up that are left over from the Clone Wars in this new series.
Because you're going to have less Jedi unless they find a way to incorporate them. I mean, the Clone Wars, the best things were the battles and the lightsaber battles. If you have no lightsaber battles, you're going to have to extend those battles out. And, oh, man, landing at Point Rain?
Landing at Point Rain with stormtroopers. I'm so excited.
Awesome.
So, I mean, but there's so much to talk about, but we will go into that more next week, and my brain's going into some folks that we could get on to maybe speculate. I'm hoping a little bit more tidbits have come out by then, and of course, we'll be watching the news coming out of E3 as they announce new Star Wars video games. So, man, now is truly the best time to be a Star Wars fan, and it's good to say that again, because you know, weeks ago, I wouldn't have said it. So that's an awesome thing. You know what I'm going to do now, folks? I'm going to get Jennifer Landa on the old podcast here.
Awesome. can't wait.
Hello?
Hello.
Jennifer, how are you?
I'm good. Oh, thank you so much for helping me. I'm so sorry about that.
No, not at all. There's only the briefest of confusions, and as a seasoned podcaster who uses Skype all the time, it happens to me too. All the time. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. This is a blast.
Have you thought of what to ask J.J. Abrams is my question.
Oh, yes. I've been thinking a lot about that.
I know. Although before we get into that thoroughly, I should do my due diligence as the host. I'm Riley Blanton. I'm very glad to have you on the Star Wars Report podcast. And with us right now, we've been discussing in depth the Rebels announcement. I'm sure we'll have some time to discuss that with you as well. But joining me as always is my sister, Bethany.
Welcome, Jennifer. Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And crazy man and all around cool guy, Mark Herleman.
Hello, Jennifer. How's it going?
Hi, good. Cool. Let's see, how do I do this? Okay, you're seeing video because one or more of the people, I'm reading all these Skype pop-up things coming up.
Well, feel free to play around as you go in any way you care to. But I emailed you a couple weeks ago, and I was really interested to ask you a number of kind of broad YouTube-type questions, Star Wars communities-type questions, how you got into it. But I don't want to tread over your time too much, and I know we haven't had a chance to talk a lot this evening. Is there any kind of time limit that you have?
No, I'm available.
Okay, so we should wrap up probably about midnight, so that should be all right now. I'm kidding.
I'm like, it's 5:22 my time.
Okay. He means our time. That's the scary part.
Okay. But so the first thing I wanted to ask you, which we often ask guests when we first have them on, is how did you first get introduced to that galaxy far, far away?
Oh, just even saying those words, you know, I mean, Star Wars, specifically Return of the Jedi, is actually my first movie memory. I was very, very young. I saw Return of the Jedi. I was both thrilled and terrified at the same time. it was very, very loud. I remember that. I was scared of the man wearing the mask and the cape, a.k.a. Darth Vader. But I loved the Ewoks, needless to say. And the thing that I loved the most about it was watching these grown-ups play pretend on the grandest scale imaginable. And after seeing the movie, I was like, I want to do that when I grow up. And it's left a lasting impression on me, gosh, since I was a kid.
So Return of the Jedi was your introduction to the world, which we just passed the 30th anniversary, and they had the screening over at Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, that was a blast.
Oh, were you there?
I was there, and I got to see Mark Hamill, which
Tell us about it. Tell us. Interview is over. You are now investigative reporter. You are upgraded.
gladly. that was a lot. A lot of fun. And it was packed. Come on, Skype.
We have not had a Skype hiccup for the entire show so far. Okay. All right. So we'll be right back with you, audio listeners. Stand by. All right. And we are back after many internet issues. But the listeners, you guys, we'll just pretend it was smooth. Smooth as glass. Jennifer, you were talking about meeting the Grand Master of the Jedi Order himself.
Oh, if only I could have met him. He was one row away from me.
Okay.
And so I got to listen to him talk to the audience. He's just such a charismatic man, you know, and he's such a real showman whenever he chats in front of a large audience. I love him. I love him dearly. And maybe one day I'll meet him. One day.
Well, I'll tell you what, in the next year or so, he's going to be very busy. Because he did talk, did he not touch on episode 7 related stuff? Kind of? Hinted?
He hinted, and then he caught himself and realized that he really couldn't divulge any information. But he basically confirmed that, you know, he's going to be back, Carrie's going to be back, the whole gang is going to be back.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And then he, of course, backtracked. you're right. He's going to be very busy.
George did that in an interview a month or two back, I believe, as well. He's like, they're all on board. I mean, wait, was that out loud? Sorry.
I remember that.
It's awesome. But so Return of the Jedi was kind of your defining experience, and this fantastic documentary that a friend of the show, J.C. Reifenberg, filmed, and then it was directed by Kyle Newman, The Return to Return of the Jedi. Have you seen this? But you saw it at the screening, right?
And they just released it today.
Yes.
That was really fun. I actually got a little emotional. Every time I hear the music, you know, it just brings back those memories of when I was a kid. It really does remind me of my childhood. So there's something really, really special about that.
Well, see, I remember even growing up, my older sister, Cindy, had the black box set of the soundtracks. And it had the bonus disc with the Cantina Band songs. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But I remember that distinctly because we listened to the soundtracks long before we saw the films. And when you for me, what would always get to me, even before I even saw the movie, was the harp playing Darth Vader's theme at the very end. And something about that, I melt.
It was just so sad.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you know, I saw John Williams in concert. It was Star Wars in concert. I saw Star Wars in concert. And I was getting emotional. I had my lightsaber in hand. And it was, you know, the energy of the crowd. And then they're showing clips from the films. It was so powerful. Gosh, that was, great time.
So now what is your favorite Star Wars film then? I'm curious. Is it Return of the Jedi?
For many years it definitely was Return of the Jedi. Then as I got older, I would say Empire was definitely my favorite. I love the storylines. I love the Battle of Hoth. It was a little bit darker. So when I was younger, I just gravitated more towards the Ewoks.
something about those Ewoks. Okay. Well, cool. And that's interesting because, as I've said on the show many times, the first Star Wars film I saw was The Phantom Menace. So it's very, very kind of weird differentiation, and we saw in the weirdest order. But it's interesting to hear that perspective because I'm surprised seeing all these tributes to Return of the Jedi. It kind of makes me want to revisit it because I think, if I had to guess, Return of the Jedi is actually the Star Wars film I have seen the least of the six.
Really?
Which I now feel kind of bad confessing.
Can I ask? So you saw The Phantom Menace first. Then which movie did you see next?
A New Hope.
And then you saw A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And then which one?
I feel like I need to turn this. This needs to be like a guessing game. So we were down to four options. You have a 1 in 4 chance of being right. So episode 2, 3, 5, or 6. Take a guess. I'll give you a hint.
I'm going to say then it was 5.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. All right. Right.
You just won.
Was there a particular reason why you did it in that order? Watch them in that order?
Age appropriateness, then
kind of what
release
movies?
Dates were the two factors. So yeah. The Phantom Menace is actually probably one of the least, most family-friendly ones.
Definitely.
In terms, because I mean, you don't have the Owen and Beru burning alive, or you don't have, you know, these... You don't have, you don't have Harrison Ford cussing or anything like that in the mildest of terms, of course. But still, it was a little different. So as we watched it in progression, it was then Empire, then Episode 2, and then Return of the Jedi. And of course, we saw Revenge of the Sith the year after it came out, just because we were waiting for it to come out. So I mean, I'm weird because, I've talked about this on the show, but I love talking about it because it's fun to be different. And I've only embraced that in the last few years of my life. But I, as far as Star Wars goes, I wasn't even really involved in any kind of online community until 2007 or so, which is much later than most. And I didn't watch a Star Wars film until 2003 or 4. So it's like, what are these people? Mm-hmm. Like, man, I had been a Star Wars fan for 65 years by the time you'd seen it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you know, I always wonder too. I'm like, when I have kids, how are they going to watch it? You know, which film should I show them first? I really don't know.
Man. Yeah, and there's this new kind of popular going the 4-5-1-2-3-6. And it was popularized by that blogger for, I believe it was comingsoon.net or one of the film blogs.
Yeah, I read that, yeah.
And so really Beth and I, a couple weeks ago, we talked about it on the show, but we haven't talked about it in a couple weeks because it's been pushed on hold for because of busy lives and whatnot. But there's a friend of our, the aforementioned older sister, who'd never seen Star Wars, any of them.
What?
Jamie.
Didn't even know, like, the
and not only had seen Star Wars.
Doesn't even know the basics.
Knew nothing.
Like doesn't know who Darth Vader is, kind of.
Oh
thing.
My gosh! Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. So and so we are doing that. We've seen 4, 5, and now 1. So we've got to go 2, 3, 6.
Okay.
And
that's fun.
You know, and in theory, I'm like, ooh, this will be fun. This will be great. And then the more we got into it, the more I thought, you know, it's experimental. We even watched the revisited version of A New Hope, just kind of for funsies. I have gotten more than a little bit of crap from Steve Glosson.
Well, I'll point out too that we discovered recently that by doing this, the one reveal that you'll be surprised by in Episode 3 that will be ruined in Episode 6 is that Leia is Luke's sister, because it's revealed in Episode 3. So it's like either try to find out the father or the sister. It's like one of them's got to go, because you're going to find one out early.
Yeah, well, and so this way you kind of get best of both worlds.
Right, right. Oh, man. I mean, I really am biased towards the original trilogy. So I have a feeling I'll show my kids those first.
Yeah.
That's what I did. I'm terrible. Mine, the second they were born, I had them playing in the background. That was just... And every one of them, that was my ritual.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's in the background, it's playing. Okay, let's have this baby. All right, honey, you ready? You got your journey music going? Let's do this, doc.
Okay.
Are your kids Star Wars fans now?
All of them, yeah. Well, I mean, my eldest daughter, my daughter, my oldest one is Taylor Jade, because Mara Jade.
Yes.
Then Gavin, which, because I liked Gavin Darklighter from Rogue Squadron. And then my youngest is Jaina Sophia, so I call her Jaina So, because she's so close to being Jaina Solo. I was so close. But, you know, and then we had a miscarriage, and he is Ben. And so all my kids are a Star Wars name to some degree or some form. And my son, you know, he's such a huge fan. He spent his birthday allowance money getting a bunch of droid workshops, which he made me bring out here to show off on the show because he's so proud of them all. I mean, yeah, they're just huge fans. I mean, I'm terrible. I mean, I'm getting my youngest, this was her toy from Disneyland. I mean, I'm evil like that. Anything Star Wars, I'm like, oh, we got to get it. And my wife, we're not going to have any more kids, but I'm still all my kids' baby clothes that are Star Wars. It's all in a box so they can hand them down. I'm big like that. My son, he just got grounded for having sticky hands before he went down to Disneyland. And so his Star Wars collection was taken from him. and mine grew. But he doesn't know that down the road he's going to end up getting most of it anyway, because his older sister, she likes it, but she's like, Dad, I hope I don't hurt your feelings, but I'm not into it as much. And I'm always like, that's okay. That's fine. You know, I know it's not for everybody, and I know that you like princesses and you like your H2O more. That's okay. I'm like, I didn't always love Star Wars as much, or I didn't tell everyone I didn't. You know, I'm always telling her that. I'm like, I was always a closet fan. In high school, it was social suicide to say that out loud, but I was such a big Spider-Man fan that everybody was like, you don't love Star Wars? I'm like, I do. I just don't tell everybody.
But, wow.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I'm trying to accept. I want to see Bethany.
Oh, I know. Bethany's on my Skype system right now. I need to figure out a multi-camera setup here.
Hang on.
This is going to be brilliant for the audio listeners. I've got the wrong camera because I've got system recording.
I'm going to run around and wave.
There you go. All right. There we go. Because
she bails
when all else
out,
fails,
once again,
technology.
The sister coming to the rescue.
Hi.
Just like Leia to Luke's rescue in Dark Empire.
And I love how you, Bethany, kept the headphones on. So it's like,
yeah, I was dragging them with me.
That excites me, your relationship with your kids and Star Wars. Because my greatest fear is that if I have kids, they're like, I don't like Star Wars. What are you talking about? Oh, that'd be horrible.
I'm just waiting for him to be like, I'm done. I don't want any more. Get rid of it. No, on one side, I'll be like, okay, I'll take it all. But then I'm like, that's what I told my wife. I'm like, what am I going to do with all this? You know, I mean, it's just material possession. It doesn't really mean anything, but I would hate to see it just get thrown away. I'd love to see, because my dad's a huge Star Trek fan. And so I will be getting all of his books, because up until he got to a point where he was like, okay, I can't follow it anymore, but he's got a book rivalry. I mean, this is all my Star Wars books, but his rival's mine, and I've got in an attic waiting for me someday these boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff. But he's given me some other stuff that I've got on shelves. But I'm like, even that, I'm like, man, one of my kids, if they're not geeked out, the one that is going to just score.
Seriously. Like, oh, that's so cool.
But you reminded me, because as we've gone through this process with Jamie, and by the way, I think this is a true Star Wars Report fashion, as we finally get back from off track. As we've gone through this process with Jamie, I'm a huge prequel. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I like to put it that way, but I am known to be a defender of the prequels. I certainly, having seen The Phantom Menace first, seeing it as a 12-year-old kid makes a big difference than seeing it as a 32-year-old man. So it's always been like, it's been kind of my one man mission. I've calmed down in recent years to defend the virtues and not point out nearly so many of the faults of the prequels. But that being said, as I've gone through this process, watching it with Jamie for the first time, I really, really enjoy seeing the process of her discovering that Darth Vader's Luke's father. And as that linear story happens. And then when we jump back to The Phantom Menace, there was some guilt there, because as I jump back, it's so different. I think of Star Wars so much as one single story in all these films, but as you watch them for the first time, thematically, they're so different that breaking up the linear story, I think, does its own way to hurt it. So this may be more of a confession, but even as we're going to finish the experiment, I don't know that I would repeat it and watch the films in an odd order. Although, granted, I turned out okay, I think. But
I think the odd order is for when you've sat down and watched. I mean, for me anyway, I've watched, original trilogy and prequel trilogy. But I got to a point where I was just watching the scenes. And the out of order aspect of it is cool, because you're always seeing something new. I mean, I don't even have the Blu-ray versions yet. But my co-host on Star Wars Beyond the Films, Nathan, he has. And he's always talking about how these new sounds he's never heard of. Or like, Riley, when you guys were watching, you noticed the bubble wrap on the Hoth speeder pilot. You know, he's got that there. Little things like that you never really notice. I mean, I'm still to this day trying to see the TIE fighter and X-Wing flying through the underlevels in episode 2. I'm like, I know it's there in the commentary. And they're like, and right now, if you pause it, I'm like, I can't find it, but I'm looking for it desperately.
Yes.
That's what I love about Star Wars, is that the world is so vast, And every day I'm constantly learning something new and about Star Wars. And that's what's kept me such a strong fan after all these years. I'll never grow tired of it. I mean, and now, oh man, It's incredible.
I know. I mean, I remember, and I loved the video you did finally once all the news had broken on your YouTube channel. But before we get into that video, I figure, actually, speaking of being somewhat linear, I think I should pause the conversation and take a moment to actually first ask you. I would love to get go ahead and plug, folks, your YouTube channel, what you do with it, and then also I'd love to hear the story of what the genesis was there, how it began.
Sure. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/JenniferLanda, my name. And basically, I do video blogs about Star Wars. I sometimes will deviate from that, but there's just so much to talk about, and there's so many ideas I have that I can't help myself. I started my channel about 3 years ago, so back in 2010. And it started with Wear Star Wars, Share Star Wars Day. With Katie Goldman, the little girl that was bullied for liking Star Wars. And when I heard her story, I was really upset. I just couldn't believe that in this day and age that there were people that actually believed that Star Wars was only for boys. I mean, that was shocking to me. And then when I started exploring that more, and you know, you go to Target or Toys R Us and you see where the Star Wars toys are. You know, they're in the boys section and they don't make little girl shirts, you know, with Star Wars characters on them. You have to shop in the little boys section. And as I started processing that, I was like, you know what? I want to share my story, and I want to talk about Katie's story as well. And I was actually really terrified because, you know, I'm an actor, but this was me just being me, and it's definitely more vulnerable. You know, there's always a lot of trolls on the internet, and I was like, oh gosh, what are people gonna think? It's, you know, the video was kind of kooky. I was wearing a Darth Vader mask at times, and it was just really silly, but then there were some heartfelt moments. And the response was great. I was shocked. Like, there were people who totally got it, and there are people that told me afterwards, you know, thank you so much for sharing your story. You know, you've given me hope. You've inspired me to know that it will get better. You know, no matter how tough it seems, like when you're a young person or a teenager, it gets better. And that's kind of how my channel started. So.
And thus began the monster.
No. Yes.
What have I done?
I know. It's amazing. And the coolest thing about it is that over time, it's become more of like a collaboration with my viewers. So they'll give me these great ideas. Like a few years ago, I revealed that I had a Jar Jar Binks action figure. And, you know, it was a deep confession.
I love those videos.
And somebody was like, you should destroy him. And I said, okay, how should I destroy him? And people came up with these crazy ideas, and it was just, it's awesome. I'm like their little puppet, and I love it. So that's always, I never have a shortage of ideas thanks to my fellow fans.
That's awesome. Well, and you touched, I love the genesis of the channel really, I think, informed the perspective of it, because you do a lot of just fun videos, and mm-hmm. you don't really it's not like you started the channel to speak out against bullies. Like, that was going to be your whole time. But just by being a strong and confident female presence in the Star Wars fan community, suddenly, boom, there you are, you landed it. And there, yeah, pun slightly intended. All right, sorry. And but when it comes to the way you approach YouTube channels, there are trolls out there. And I remember, this is just something I want to ask you, as far as the creative process, does that ever mess with you? Because I remember when you did what I thought was an amazing Star Wars Blu-ray wrap.
And controversial.
What's the story there? I'm very curious. This is like one of the things there. If I could ask her one thing, because I am very curious what the genesis and story there was.
Honestly, I get sick of people whining. Like, let's put things in perspective, people. You know, when people were saying, like, George Lucas raped my childhood. I just mm-hmm. that was shocking to me. I'm like, this is just not right.
Much.
there's a lot of haters out there, and I knew that I was going to be shaking a beehive, so to speak. And gosh, I really did. There were a lot of people who actually thought that I was trying to be a rapper. That was the funny thing. They're like, who do you think you are? You're never going to be a rapper, and you know, you're never going to get a record deal. And I'm like, I don't want a record deal.
You're like, object complete.
So it was kind of in defense of George Lucas in some way. That's you know, he's an artist, and I respect his right to be able to do whatever he wants. You know, he is the maker. And you know, I mean, sure, I would love to have you know, the Yub Nub song still mm-hmm. existing out there, but that's okay. You know, change is good. Change is hard, but change is good.
Mm-hmm. I try to tell myself that.
Me too. No,
I love it because, yes. And that's
all the
so
time.
True. That's the one thing that we talk about in great depth on the podcast, because I think Star Wars is always such a great way to take a community of people and really discuss much larger issues than who shot first. And that's one of the huge things, because when you talk about the idea of bullying, it's something that the Star Wars community hadn't really addressed until about 2 or 3 years ago. And then, boom, it seems like it's blown up. And now it's in the consciousness of not just the Star Wars community, but the entire sci-fi community, because it is now... I feel like it's now suddenly unacceptable at Comic-Con or at these other events to treat women in ways that they have been historically. Yeah. And it's really cool to see a community of people, whether it's Star Wars or whether it's general sci-fi and comic book and fantasy, make that shift. And that's one thing I've enjoyed about seeing this process. And I think we're still only at the beginning.
Agreed. See, that's the part that tears me up as a dad. My oldest daughter... she would start to get bullied by other girls. You know, they were like, you shouldn't like Star Wars. You know, you should be into this kind of stuff. And that was what started to really upset her, because then we go down to the toy store and they didn't have very many Ahsokas. She had every Ahsoka there was. We were looking for every Barriss Offee, you know, every Aaliyah Secura, you know, every female figure. I was trying to get it for her because I wanted her to have the same thing my son was having. And his collection was growing. He was big on the troopers. He didn't care. Different helmet, I want it. That one, ooh, I got to have five of those. Because did you see how many clones were in that Battle Dad? I'm like, okay, yes, we'll get you 25 of them. But, you know, and that's why I keep saying, where's the Night Sister packs? You know, I mean, yeah, we get Mother Talisman. Where's the rest of them? I mean, come on. It drives me nuts. We went down to Disney, and we were talking about at the beginning of the episode. One of the coolest things for me was the fact that we were able to get her I'd Rather Kiss a Wookiee shirt. It's all pink, and it's got Minnie Mouse as Leia. And I love it. And I was so devastated because we're down at the store, and I didn't have enough money because there was another one. It was a brown shirt, and it had Ahsoka, and it was in an anime style. And she's like, I'm training to be a Jedi Knight, or I'm almost a Jedi Knight, or about to be. And she wanted that shirt. And you know, for me, that was the best thing, that my daughter still wanted this stuff. And she, you know, she had all this mini and other stuff that she could have picked, and she went right for the Star Wars stuff. And that was so cool because I wasn't prompting her. But, you know, it, when that bullying thing came out, my daughter was at that same age, and it tore me up because she was going through the same thing. And to see the other girl going through it too, it's like, man, I don't know. Once I hit 30, I became very emotional, or maybe having a daughter. I don't know what it is, but, you know, just reading about Katie's story, I was just tore up. It left me just heartbroken for that little girl. And I was immediately like, now how can I stop this from happening to my daughter? Because I was already seeing it start to happen. But unfortunately, it was more by the little girls. The little boys seem to be more accepting of her. She's what they call an honorary Cub Scout in our pack, because she's just always doing boy things, but she's not a tomboy at all. She's a total little princess.
Mm. I mean... yeah, and this is the thing where when you're talking about gender, it can be a sensitive issue. And you know, I was thinking about even this week, the big news, is if I were from Jersey or something. Are you guys still there? I'm just curious. Skype's giving a weird
dance. I am here. I lost video though.
Cool. All
me
right.
Too. Can you see me? I mean, can you hear me?
Yes. You guys are still on. We are, okay, everything's good. Fine here. We're all fine.
Okay, stay on target.
Okay. All right, so we'll have to continue with audio. But yeah, the most recent controversy along this nature was the most recent Star Trek film, and the fact that we're even having discussions about the way women are portrayed in the film, I think, is a really good thing. And so I really enjoy that. But Jennifer, I do want to ask you specifically on the idea of YouTube. I am a very, very curious and intrigued onlooker because I've seen YouTube become so big in the past few years. Yeah. In fact, it can kind of feel a little lonely all by ourselves here in the iTunes podcast. But it's such a cool medium. What is the creative process going into a video? I'm very curious about the technical process that you do when you make a video.
Yeah, basically what I've started doing, because I wanted to release a video once every week, you know, create more consistent content just because there's so much stuff happening that I was like, you know what, I want to up the ante a bit. So I started carrying a notebook and just jotting down ideas. So I have a notebook filled of video ideas. So usually I'll start off on like a Sunday or a Monday, you know, figuring out what I'm going to do, maybe do a little bit of filming. And then it usually takes me almost about 2 days to edit it and figure out what music I'm going to do and then finally upload it. And, It's not easy. I'm like, oh, I'll just shoot myself, you know, chatting on the couch. And I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so I find myself spending many long hours editing on Final Cut. But it's a lot of fun, and I feel like I'm just hitting my stride. I'm really excited to see what happens, because you never know, you know.
Totally.
Maybe J.J. Abrams could get the letter and chat with us, right?
That would be awesome. The really cool thing about it is that when you're interacting with your audience, it makes it a much more fun experience, I'm sure. And that's what I like about YouTube, because it is so interactive. But I'm curious, what are your favorite parts about working in that space?
Definitely. Yeah. Connecting with my fellow fans. I mean, that to me is like, it's the greatest thing. I mean, there's just so many wonderful ideas and just the passion, and it's fun. I feel like I'm living out my Star Wars fantasies, you know? And so when I go out and dance in public, it's not just me going out and dancing there. It's like me and my loyal viewers, we're all getting to experience this. At least I hope. And hopefully along the way, people are entertained and have a little laugh or learn how to make a silly craft. It's more than just me, which I like.
You're a braver person than I am, by the way. I'm just going to throw that in there. Sorry, go ahead, Bethany.
Oh, we're going to have to do a dance video, Riley.
Ah.
Do it.
Oh, boy. I'm just trying to get up the courage to start doing some content on our YouTube channel, which is remarkably blank right now.
Oh, yeah, you guys should do Google Hangouts. That'd be really fun.
I've looked at that because we have done them before, and I've published one or two, but I think it's a really fun way to... I think what would be really cool is have the Google Hangouts and then have excerpts from the conversation, because I don't think people want to do the full long form. That's more for audio. But yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, definitely. And if you guys are up for dancing, maybe we should do like a flash mob or something. That would be fun.
That would be amazing.
Yeah,
Jennifer, you need to go to Fan Days this fall if they do it. I hope they do it. That's kind of the mini non-celebration. Too. Are you familiar with Fan Days by any chance?
Is that in Florida?
It is in Plano, Texas, which is outside of Houston.
Right. Well, it is a little bit away. I'm just bummed I'm not going to be able to go to Celebration in Germany. But Texas, I might be able to manage.
Well, and that depends. That would be this fall as a possibility. We're trying to work out with a bunch of folks to go. I was hoping to go to the Star Wars Weekends, but it's not working out. This is turning very quickly away. This very... in-house stuff. Sorry, go ahead, Bethany. I keep interrupting.
I was wondering, Jennifer, what is your inspiration for your different videos? Like, what is it that you like to share with all of the people that you share this cool content with?
It's almost like I see it as inside jokes. You know, if I were to go to the grocery store and start speaking Hadiz, I think the cashiers would be a little concerned. But speaking Hadiz with my peeps, you know, they're going to laugh and they're going to get it. And so I just think about ways to, like, have these little inside jokes. I mean, because when I was growing up, I was a bit of a loner. And, you know, I didn't really have a lot of friends that were into Star Wars. I didn't really have any friends that were into Star Wars. So it was very much like an isolating experience. So now I'm like, I can share Star Wars with all these people and we can geek out about, you know, whatever it is, making Darth Maul shoes or Pit of Carcoon Bundt cake. And that to me is like, it's just like having fun. And, you know, there's definitely, as a woman, I sometimes feel a lot of pressure just because, you know, people challenge my knowledge a lot more as a woman. I feel like it's getting better. I mean, certainly growing up, if I would say that I was into Star Wars, people would start quizzing me immediately. Oh, yeah, well, what's this? Yeah. What's that?
I can identify with that because I remember one of our first iTunes reviews, which was a nice positive one, but one of the small comments in it, and this guy was being really nice. I mean, he left a really nice positive review about all of us in the show. But one comment that he made was, you know, and Bethany knows her stuff, and she's a girl. And I was like, so...
Yeah, that's that. I still feel like we have a ways to go with that.
I took that more as like from a guy coming from where you're coming from here, Jennifer. There's nobody around me either, and the online community is the only place I can get it. Being a girl who likes Star Wars is a bonus. Like, and she's a girl. I mean, you don't see that often anymore, and you want to see it more. It's like, yes, that's a shining example of awesomeness right there. We need more of you girls to stand up and say, yes, I like Star Wars, and yes, I am here. You just didn't know it, because like most of you guys, we're closet fans too.
Exactly. And I mean, it's scary because, well, it's not so scary anymore, but when I was first starting, I was like, oh my gosh, what if I make a mistake? You know, it's like I can't know everything. I mean, it's just impossible. And I'm like, you know what? It just comes down to me having fun. And that's what I really like about the Star Wars community that's kind of been happening lately is like people are embracing all types of fans. You know, you don't have to know everything and have read every novel and read every, you know, comic book to still be a fan and be respected in the community. And I think that's really great. And that's what I hope I do. I want to create like a safe environment on my channel where people feel free to ask questions if they want to learn more or, you know, just be themselves.
And that's
I've read in most of the stuff, and honestly, it's so confusing to keep track of where it was and what time you read it and where it was supposed to fit in the timeline that I'm constantly screwing things up. It's like, yeah, I read it like 5 years ago. I'm reading The Last Jedi right now, and I'm like, okay, what in the heck happened in those first three books? I'm like, I had to go back to the Wikipedia and read up on some of these background characters. I'm like, oh my gosh, he had a Padawan? Like, what? I remember reading the book, but I don't remember any of this.
Exactly. That's why I love Pablo Hidalgo's book. I got it a while ago. It's fantastic. It's the Reader's Companion.
Reader's Companion. Love that book. Yep.
It is amazing. It's so helpful. I'm always like consulting it, you know. Yeah,
that was actually a book that when we showed it to Jamie, who's our experiment when we were going through the films, he was like, this is a book about all the other books? And yes, it is. You bet it is.
Yeah, some may see it as daunting. I see it as, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yes.
I will never tire. I'll have plenty of stuff to explore.
See, and it inspired my co-host to do a visual version incorporating almost everything, and he's just barely getting out of the 80s, and he's over 100-something issues deep. And I'm just like, man, and he's the same way. He's like, I just want to get to the 90s. I just want to get to the 90s. I'm like, oh, man, you got like another year to go, dude.
I love it. I just want to get to the 90s.
Awesome.
Great quote.
It's a good decade. But I was going to say, though, Jennifer, do you have a few moments to stick around? I want to ask you one or two things about the recent transition to Disney.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So basically, and here's how it's gone over the past few interviews I've done on the show. It's always this great conversation about the old times before the dark times, before Disney. And that's how it goes, because the conversation has to stop in, what was it, October 2012, because that's the time where everything changed. And today the big news is the Star Wars Rebels television series. But I think we would greater benefit from just asking you what you think of the overall direction of Star Wars now that we have new video games, new television, new books, new movies coming out.
I was really upset. I was really upset when Disney bought Lucasfilm, mainly because, you know, Star Wars is so much about the fans that I was concerned that Disney would see us as just a way to make money. And that really concerned me. However, I feel like they've made some good decisions, albeit there are some bad decisions that I did not agree with. I'm upset about the Clone Wars. I'm upset about Star Wars Detours and, you know, LucasArts. I really wanted to play 1313. But I want to remain optimistic. I believe in J.J. Abrams. I believe in the team that they've assembled. I think Kathleen Kennedy is an amazing producer. Now I'm excited, but originally, yeah, I was really bummed.
Yeah. I mean, I went through a stage where I was super thrilled at the beginning, and then we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, but it was like one piece of bad news after another. This was canceled. This was winding down. These people were fired.
Axed. Chopped.
Yeah. Destroyed. It was like, I think our worst fears were realized, you know, and that, that was not good.
But the recent announcement that they didn't just let it die, but they gave the license to Electronic Arts, which will be having a press conference here in a few weeks announcing new Star Wars games at E3. And then, of course, we have Star Wars Rebels with a lot of the same creative team behind Clone Wars. And that's still very much up in the air as to whether that'll be brand new direction or whether they'll maybe hopefully wrap up some Clone Wars storylines. But the fact that they do have a replacement. It is the same. We'd had the good news, the bad news, and now we're finally getting the good news again. So it's like the Oreo, because I never particularly like the center of the Oreo anyway.
Oh.
But
that was
yeah.
the best part, man.
But I do enjoy the fact that there's a new direction that the franchise is heading, and it's very nice. And I think that Episode 7 is in very good hands, especially having the folks like Michael Arndt behind it doing the writing. Have you seen Star Trek Into Darkness yet, by any chance?
I have not seen it.
Stay spoiler free. You'll enjoy it more.
Yeah, it's been practically impossible. I know a little bit about some of the spoilers, but yeah, I'm going to go see it this weekend. I'm excited. People don't seem to like it. Is that the correct?
I was seeing mixed reviews. I managed to stay spoiler free. I saw it yesterday. Granted, it was my very first time watching an IMAX film, so that may have played into it, but for me, it was hands down the best Star Trek film I have seen yet. And I mean, like I said, my dad was a huge Star Trek fan, so I am a Star Trek fan as well. But I liked it. I had very little to not like, but like I said, by being spoiler free, I had a lot of fist pumping action, like, oh yeah. Like I was out of my seat. Luckily there was only six of us in there and my son was one of them. So I wasn't as embarrassed as I could have been.
That's no, awesome.
I enjoyed it a lot, but there are some elements that I can see why people do, but you're going, I think you'll enjoy it. And it's fun because it's hard to watch it as a huge Star Wars fan and not see how will this translate to Episode 7, which is probably not the most fair comparison because it's different. But it is a lot of the same creative team, and I think that'll be interesting to see. So, wow.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Well, Jennifer, we've had you for a long time now, and you've been very generous with your time. I do want to, before we close out, I want to give you a chance to promote anything you're doing, and I would love to grab your final thoughts on some of the future direction that you'll be doing. We've talked so much about the future of the Star Wars franchise, but I'd love to get a peek at some of the projects you're working on right now.
Let's see, right now, so I'm YouTubing every week. Comic-Con is just around the corner, and I have an idea for a costume. But it's one of those things where I really don't know if I'm going to be able to execute it. So I've got to start trying like tomorrow. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm also a part of a web series called The Ladies and the Gents, and they are releasing new episodes. Gosh, basically the idea is that the episodes take place in the ladies' room and in the men's room. So it's really, really funny. And they're releasing episodes every week with that. And what else? That's pretty much it.
Well, and I will put out a mandate to the listeners to hit you up on Twitter, and that's at Jennifer Landa. Did I get that correct? I think I did.
You did, and you guys are playing my favorite freaking song.
Oh, this one? I think that was...
Yeah, I was just dancing. You could see me.
It's too bad the video failed at this point. So yeah, that puts the wrap on this episode of the Star Wars Report. Thank you, Jennifer Landa, so much for joining us here, and we apologize for we apologize on behalf of AT&T since you will never receive their apology letter.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. I mean, I could chat for another hour.
We loved it. And we'd love to have you back on sometime.
Thank you. I'd love it.
Cool deal. All right, guys, you can find us at StarWarsReport.com. You can follow us on Facebook/StarWarsReport, Twitter/StarWarsReport. We don't have a Google Plus, although maybe we should. You can probably the best way to keep track of our episodes are to subscribe to the show through iTunes, and we'd love it if you could leave us a review there. And don't forget, I'm going to stay for a little bit of a post show. Because I want to get to a fantastic piece of voicemail that we got earlier, and I don't want to leave it for next week. So for you guys, there's going to be a little bonus couple minutes afterwards. Again, send us a voicemail like this fine gentleman did that we'll be playing after the credits. And that's our number, 858-859-0SWR. And if you want to get in touch with us by email, it's StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Have I plugged enough?
He says.
I think I have. I've plugged so much that I think I'll have to wait till next week to plug more. You guys are awesome for tuning into the podcast, and we will be in touch. We'll see you on the internet, and we'll see you next week on the Star Wars Report podcast. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. All right, let's see if we can queue up Ron's voicemail for a moment here. All right, I'll leave the music playing. Let's see if we get this all to work. Here we go.
Yeah,
you have a voicemail from Google Plus. All right, so that's time for a brief pause on the music. And let's jump to this voicemail from Ron. Let's see if this works.
Hey guys, this is Ron. I'm MG on Twitter, and usually I tweet you guys, but I thought that this would be a great time to call in and use your voicemail feature since we got the pretty exciting news about Star Wars Rebel this week. It's actually my first time ever calling a podcast, so it would be easy on me. But I just wanted to give you kind of my top three hope for things on the new show. One, I'm pretty excited for, and I think we're going to get an animated Vader, and I hope we get to see the Jedi purge with Vader and the 501st, and the question for me will be, will Rex still be part of the 501st? Two, hope we get to see Leia be a primary focus and kind of carry on the tradition on the Clone Wars that we saw strong female characters. I know Riley had that great blog on Leia being a kick-ass character, and I hope we get to see more of that. And just on the side of her and leading the rebellion, it'd be great if they brought in Starkiller as a character, even if he's not the same as the Starkiller on The Force Unleashed, but it'd be cool to see that character brought into this level of canon. Finally, I'd like to see them use this new show to at least tie up a couple of major loose ends from the Clone Wars especially for me, I think Maul would be something that I want to see him involved. Maybe they could use him like the Emperor's Hand in some ways from the Zahn trilogy. But they put in so much work to bring him back, it'd be almost a shame if they didn't do something more with him during this dark times period. So that's what I'd like to see. I'm really excited about this new show. I'd love to hear what you guys want in the new show. I love the prequels. Not a prequel hater by any means, but it wasn't quite what I expected when the prequels were announced. And to me, I have a feeling this show might be what I expected. So that's all from me. And keep up the great work. I really love your guys' show, obviously. And look forward to hearing more. Thanks.
Thank you, Ron. And I tell you what, I wanted to scoot in. I told him I wouldn't. I wanted to scoot in the voicemail this week because right as this news is breaking, we had some chance to do it, but I really do want to get into this more in depth and talk about a lot of the things you just mentioned in your voicemail, Ron, because I think a lot of those things are the very same things we want to see. So we'll hopefully be talking about that next week. Guys, thank you so much for jumping on with us on the Star Wars Report podcast. And for you guys who stuck around after the credits, thank you. And we'll see you next week.